Okay, so we're continuing our series on Jonah. It's the last one today, which is good. So we're up to chapter 4. So if you want to grab your Bibles and go to chapter 4, you can do that. That would be helpful. I feel like this table's, because we've changed things a little bit around, everything's just not quite perfect, ergonomic, because I changed it around. It's not ergonomic. Okay, so far in the book of Jonah, we've been looking at this prophet of God who's been told by God to go to Nineveh. And God said, go, and Jonah says, no way, not going there. So we see this whole series of events where God sends a storm. The storm sort of causes Jonah to be steered back to Nineveh, to the plan. In that storm, the pagans actually respond to God. Well, after the storm, they respond. They actually respond better than Jonah. Jonah was meant to be one of God's people, and these pagan sailors actually feared and responded to God. And so through that, he gets thrown overboard, and the storm stops. And then God rescues Jonah with a big fish, and in chapter 2, he has this prayer of thankfulness. The fish vomits him up, and Jonah decides to go and do what he's told. He's obviously, still not over excited by the whole deal, but he manages to go and do what he's told. So he goes to Nineveh, and he goes to this horrific pagan city and tells the people in 8 words that God's going to judge them. And he's going to judge them in 40 days. And so with this, as we heard a few weeks back, with this very minimal message, there was this maximum response to God. So great was the response that everyone, including the king, repent. They stop doing evil and they start making the right moves to God. Whereas Jonah, he's been continually making the wrong moves away from God. And so God's great mercy for sinners is seen here, where this great city of Nineveh, it's great to God. God cared for them. And so God forgives them. God sees their repentance and holds back on judgment. And it's interesting, even when we looked at that, we saw how often we sort of demand people to be immediately respond to us. And yet here, God counted the 40. He gave them 40 days of grace to change. And so the people changed. They put on their sorry clothes and they repented. Now, you would think, would this mass change of people, Jonah being a missionary, being God's prophet, would have been pretty pumped. He's given such a small message, 8 words, and all these people have turned, and they're starting to make the right moves from God. And I'm going to call the right moves to God, because it doesn't really tell us everything what happened, but they're definitely making the right moves. They're moving the right way. You would think you'd be pumped after all that. You'd think you'd be excited. Imagine if you went down to Bendigo, and you went in the Mall of Bendigo and you sat there and gave a short gospel presentation, and then a few people heard, and those few people told a few other people, and the next minute the whole of Bendigo, 100,000 people, are all repenting. And then all of a sudden you've got a mega church. Well, you could have. in the town of Bendigo. You would think that Jonah would be pumped and excited. I mean, wouldn't you be pumped and excited that your little message just had such a ripple effect in a town? This is better than what, the book of Acts. Acts 3 and Acts 4, they have 3,000 and 5,000 people repenting, and we know they repented and got baptized and did all the right moves. But here, these people are repenting, they're doing the right moves. But it seems that Jonah's attitude is still not quite on line with God's. There's something that's driving him away from this mission. So we're going to read chapter 4. And we're going to read how excited Jonah is by the whole deal with God saving Nineveh. Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish. For I knew that you are gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. And he sat under it in the shade till he could see what would become of the city. Now the Lord appointed a plant and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on his head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, you pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did not make it grow, which came into being in the night and perished in the night. And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? So in Jonah 4, we're really getting to the heart of Jonah. We're getting the heart of what's going on in Jonah's heart to this whole mission. And I love the Bible because it always gives you a very honest account of people. It gives you an honest account of humanity. Jonah is clearly angry at God. Angry at God's love and compassion for sinful Nineveh. Jonah is angry enough to die, and I don't think he's suicidal. I think he's just lost the will to live because of God's gracious act to sinners. So there's three points I want us to consider today. And one word that sort of stood out in the passage, and probably different people got different ideas, but I thought of attitude. The attitude. You know, the attitude of Jonah. The attitude towards who God is. The attitude towards those outside of God's people, and his attitudes to what really concerns God over himself. Well, as we can see, Jonah isn't celebrating at God's mercy. He's not excited by the turnaround of Nineveh. It's not mission success as far as Jonah is concerned. He's angry at God. He's angry at God's love, verses 1 and 2. He's angry at God's mercy and grace to these people. Remember, these are people who have done evil. They're the enemy of God's people in his sight. And this is why Jonah says he fled in the first place. This is why in chapter 1 we see him running. He hated Nineveh. He hated the idea of God, that God's character has room for mercy towards them. Jonah knows God's character very well. Jonah prays clearly in verse 2, and in his prayer, he clearly has good doctrine, good theology, good understanding of God. He recites Exodus 34, 6 to 7, which we read this morning. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. And as Jonah puts it, for I knew that you are gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Here Jonah is saying, you are gracious and merciful God. You're God of steadfast love. But he's actually praying it in a negative way. He actually doesn't like it. It's okay for this truth to apply to Israel, but not to Nineveh. He didn't like it. The very thing that Jonah has already experienced through God, that same grace and love that Nineveh receives in his life as well as them, Jonah doesn't get it. God has patiently been pursuing him throughout this book as we've been seeing. How much of Romans 9 did you study? Did you get to Jacob and Esau? Okay. Oh, that's good. Well, I was thinking about it because I thought I'd mention that. And in the book of Romans, we've got Jacob and Esau, and it's got how, you know, God loved Jacob and hated Esau. But if you read the Bible, you actually see that both these guys are rat bags. You know, Jacob is just as flawed a sinner as Esau. So yet in contrast to what Jacob deserves, God showed mercy on him. God chose to give blessing through him in Romans 9. It talks about that. And so as we see here in the book of Jonah, as well as all the Old Testament and New Testament, we have a God who is gracious and merciful to fallen people, and that's us. And it's interesting because so often we run from God because we fear his judgment and his anger. But Jonah is running not because of God's wrath. He's actually running because of God being God. He's actually running from God's way of compassion and mercy. He doesn't want Nineveh to receive it. And yet out of love, God does everything so Nineveh would hear, so they would respond. That's our compassionate God. That's a God that we know or is worthy for us to know if we don't know him. Because he is compassionate to you even when you fail and fall and run from him. Jonah knows who God is. He knows his compassion. He knows his ways. He knows his character well. He knows his steadfast love. Yet it has no effect on Jonah's attitude towards others. Jonah knows God's ways and is angered by them. And Jonah has a complaint against God. As far as Jonah is concerned, he and God are not on the same page. But when it comes to what compassion ought to look like, it shouldn't be for those over there. Now, Jonah does the right thing. He takes his complaint to God in prayer. And it's probably one of the one things he did do right. But in his heart, it always seems like it's okay for Israel, it's okay for Jonah to experience God's compassion. See, that Bible passage in Exodus 34 was actually written after they fell into idolatry. And God was going to wipe them out. And yet he had compassion on them. And so the tablets are remade. You see, he had no problem with that Bible passage applying to Israel, to God's people who were just as bad at that point as Nineveh. He just didn't want it to apply to Nineveh. He's a bit like that older brother in the prodigal son in Luke 15, where he doesn't think that he deserves forgiveness, the younger son, because of what he's done. When Jonah was disobedient, the same compassion of God was there for him. Merciful, slow in anger, gracious and loving him all the way through. Like I said, it's okay for this nature of God to apply to Jonah, which he's probably not aware of, but not to Nineveh. I don't know about you, do you ever get those posts on Facebook and they come up and they tell you about illegal immigrants and when they come into the country and they have this little list and it says, this is all the things that immigrants get, okay? Now, I think they're all a bit far-fetched and a bit probably driven to stir people up. But when you read those, posts, you can get a bit angry, especially when they often compare it with a pensioner, don't they? They put, this is what one person gets and this is what the pensioner gets. And so we have a bit of an anger in us when we read that. We're angered because how does this person who comes in illegally get better treatment, or at least the same sort of treatment, as that pensioner who's faithfully served the nation, who's been there all through their lives, faithfully doing their work? How can this immigrant, this person, get all this when they clearly don't deserve it? That's what we think in our minds. And actually, we're often not angry at the immigrants. We're actually angered at the government for allowing this to happen. A bit like when the rapist gets off in court. We're actually more angered at the judge than we are at the rapist. Our anger boils. We actually forget about him. We get angered at this idea that the judge would let this person go free. Jonah doesn't like God giving Nineveh mercy. And Jonah is angered at God's love and mercy. Jonah wants judgment, not mercy, for Nineveh. And he's angered at the fact that God would do this. In fact, the language that it uses is that Jonah's anger at God's character and mercy, and what he does is actually greater than God's anger to Nineveh for their sin. So the writer of Jonah wants to know that Jonah is fuming more about God's love and mercy than God is angered by Nineveh's sin. Just as we get more angered by that judge or by that thing that we see on Facebook, not because of the immigrant, not because of the rapist, but because of what that is doing, because of that judge or that policy or that government. And yet we seem to be quite happy enough when it comes to welfare and stuff to get welfare. We seem to be happy. If we're desperately needing money, we're happy to receive that same welfare. But not other people. They don't deserve it. We think that way, don't we? And this is what's happening with Jonah. He's angry at God, not Nineveh. And so God asks the question, do you do well to be angry? The question that Jonah ignores is Jonah is just angry at this grace of God. I mean, how can you be angry at a welfare system for us that also provides for other people that also provides for us? And when you think about God, that same forgiveness that God has for the murderer, for the rapist, is for us too. Because none of us is guilt-free. We all stand before a holy God and we all fall short. And so rather to be angry at God, we need to be glad of who God is. We need to be glad of his mercy, glad of his character. So often we want God's loving character for us, but the wrath and anger to be for others. And so we decide how God should act. And we judge God. But as we can see, it'll do no good for us because we need God to be God. But Jonah failed to recognize his anger. And he goes out of the city in verses 5 to 7. And so rather than go back to Israel, he decides to camp outside the city. Now, considering this guy's attitude towards Nineveh, it's very interesting he does this. Clearly he has no compassion for them and has little interest in their well-being. So there's a lot of different various opinions, but why does he build the camp outside? Why does he want to sit out and watch? Well, like I said, there's different opinions, but clearly his attitude is not positive towards the ultimate good. I suspect that Jonah's sitting there watching to see if Nineveh turns back to evil. You know, is their repentance really fair dinkum? What about next week? Is everything going to turn back to normal? There's still, the 40 days isn't up. So maybe they will turn back to evil and forget Yahweh God's message. And judgment will come. You know, Jonah could have stayed longer in Nineveh. Taught them clearly about good theological doctrines about God. He already knew them. He could have said, well, actually, I want to tell you about the love of God and the forgiveness and mercy of God. But he decides to leave the town and stand from a distance, or sit from a distance, watching to see if Nineveh stuff up. Then hopefully maybe God will judge them. Not too close, but close enough to see. Not too close for wrath, but close enough to see their behavior. And then if they stuff up, then maybe him and God are on the same page. Isn't that something we can do often? Someone's past has been a lot worse than ours, and we already know the love and compassion of God for us. But when it comes to others, we have doubts. We stand afar off and watch to see if they fall back into sin. We have no love and compassion for them as God does. And when they fail, we want God to come down with them on all their might. But when it's us, oh no, we want a compassionate God. We want a compassionate God. And when they fail, we want to see bad things happen to them, but not for us. Not for us. We even suspect that maybe their faith isn't genuine. And so rather have a deep concern for them to know God more, we watch and wait for them to sin again. How sad it is if we are that person today. Because clearly our God is nothing like that. And yet we would put ourselves in a position to be in a godlike position above others. God is the one who is looking at your heart today, like God is looking at Jonah's heart and attitude. And if we're honest, we know that we have times that our faith isn't genuine, that our life has things in it that we're ashamed of. that if people could see into our hearts and minds, that we would be guilty of many wrong thoughts and attitudes. But God, who sees our hearts, is compassionate and patient with us, just as he is to those of you and them, the people of Nineveh who fail and stuff up. God's character and attitude towards us ought to transform our character and attitude towards others. But as we see in Jonah, Jonah's still heated with anger. He's sitting and watching in Nineveh, in his little hut, and there's both this spiritual and physical discomfort for him. The heat of his anger and the heat of the sun and the wind. And in verses 6 to 8, "Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant, so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah, so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die, and said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.' The same God who appointed the storms appoints a fish, he appoints a plant to grow, he appoints the shade over Jonah, and he appoints a worm to destroy the plant, and he appoints the wind to annoy Jonah. And yet in all this, we see God at work in Jonah's heart. God at work, his grace at work. Interesting is the only time that Jonah seems happy in this book is when God appoints a plant to give him shade. You know, so often when it comes to God, we're only happy when God blesses us in our discomfort. Clearly Jonah has got himself into this situation with his stubbornness. But do you ever have that situation in your life where you're only thankful when good things happen? And your praises to God are based on how you feel and whether the day is blessed or not. You praise God when you get more money, but you complain when life doesn't go the way you plan it. Verse 9 to 11. But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry. Angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you not make it grow, which it came into being in the night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left?" You know, for Jonah, his anger is angry when God takes away the blessing of that natural shade, even though it wasn't there from the beginning. He's exceedingly happy at God's grace who gives it in the first place. Yet he's not exceedingly happy about God's grace for Nineveh. The plant belonged to God. He could have chose what to do with it, just as Nineveh belonged to God. So God could either preserve the plant or destroy it. God could either preserve Nineveh or destroy it. Once again, Jonah is angered at the character of God and the loss of the plant. And this time he answers the question that God gives him. It's here where he sees Jonah's heart. And he's more concerned about the vine that gives him shade than the people of Nineveh. Jonah's theology of God's nature and ways are spot on. I want you to realize that. But the grace of God has no transformation in his life. Jonah's heart is far from God's heart for the lost. Jonah's attitude is not aligned with God's heart for Nineveh. Jonah wants it around the other way. He wants God's heart to be aligned with his. But as you can see, God's heart is full of compassion and grace for Nineveh, for those who are lost, for those who do not know their left hand from their right hand. But for Jonah, he has no compassion, no grace, no care. For Jonah, he's more concerned about the plant than people. But God's heart is for the lost. In these verses, we see God's grace that appoints a plant, and then we see God's judgment that takes the plant away. God is teaching Jonah a lesson about the depths of his own heart, that Jonah does not love in the same way God loves, that God's love and mercy extends further than just Israel, and that Jonah's heart needs to actually get in line with God's. God cared for Nineveh just as he did Jonah. And if we have a look at the whole book of Jonah, all it's about is God's grace. We can see clearly it's about God's grace. Undeserved favor. That's what grace means. Although we sin, we do not deserve forgiveness. And yet, even though we do not deserve forgiveness, God grants us forgiveness by his mercy and grace. We have a God who is compassionate and loving, who forgives us no matter how bad we are. We see God's heart for the lost clearly, most clearly in Jesus, as we've read all those passages this morning in church, that in his ministry, Jesus was the right kind of Jonah, who had the right kind of compassion for the lost, who came to seek the lost. The same grace has always been who God is. And our response today is repentance, just like Nineveh. Repentance and faith. It's telling God we're sorry, that we need to change our direction, and it's trusting in Jesus and his work on the cross for our sins. You see, God was not just shaping Nineveh in their sins, but by grace he was shaping Jonah's life. God's doing this all the time of us. Often we are telling other people about Jesus. And yet in that, God is shaping us by his grace. Now, I can tell you, planting this church, God has been shaping me, always shaping me. And it's his grace all the way that shapes us. That's how our God works. This is how great our God is. That even though we do his work for him, working in other people, he's also working in us. So often we are looking at others and how they need to fix their issues, and yet God is at work patiently shaping us and teaching us. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit's doing that right now as you've been hearing his word, hearing God's word? Jonah was angry at the nature of God, his compassion and his ways. Jonah wanted God to deal with people in the way that he believed he ought to deal with them. Maybe you're angry at God, angry at how gracious God is to sinners. Is it good for you to be angry at God for being God? The reality is God's heart for the lost should shape our hearts. Jonah knew God. Jonah knew who God was. Jonah could pray great theological prayers to God that contained great truths and doctrines. And yet the very character of God had no real change in Jonah's attitude to others. You see, God was teaching Jonah all the way through this. When you run, God was chasing him. He could have sent another prophet, but God cared for Jonah as well as Nineveh. God wanted Jonah's attitude to be shaped by God's attitude to Nineveh. Jonah believed he deserved, whilst others didn't. But Jonah was the guy that needed the compassion and grace, just as Nineveh did. So often we can know God, we can know his word, we can cite great things about God, and yet the character and nature of God has no effect on our lives. God's patient, gracious, steadfast, loving mercy has no effect on our attitude to others. What God has done for us does nothing on how we treat other people. Our knowledge of who God is, there's no transformation in our marriages, our families, our careers, our churches, wherever we are. It has no effect on how we look at others saved by grace or those who do not know their left hand from their right hand in our culture. Could it be that we haven't been transformed ourselves by the very grace we talk about? That grace has no real effect on our lives. It's simply a doctrine, an idea. We know it, but that's it. We can pray about it. We can speak about it. And so often we are angered by God's grace to those around us. Angered at who God is. Our right theology, our right doctrine is nothing if God has no effect on our heart's attitude to others. Maybe like Jonah, when the heat is on you, you feel uncomfortable in the hope of looking at other people's failures. You think that people's repentance isn't genuine and you doubt God's ability to really change people. And yet in that you believe in a sovereign God who does choose people. And you stand afar, watching and waiting to see if they fall again. Don't be surprised that while you sit and judge that God is at work bringing the heat and the winds on your life to make you wake up and see His grace, to make you wake up to your own heart's attitude and sin, to make you realize that like Jonah, you are graceless. See, Jonah didn't want God being God. And yet Jonah failed to see that it was the very compassionate, steadfast love and mercy of God that he needed for him, that was actually actively, patiently at work in him, as well as it was in Nineveh. The book of Jonah reveals to us a patient God to all people. We see this clearly, though, in Jesus. We see this clearly when Jesus came and dwelt with us, that same God reaches out to us today, the same attitude, and the question is how we respond. See, we are left with a blank of what happens to Jonah. But rather than us figuring out, trying to think about what happened to Jonah, let's fill in the line for our own lives. What's your response to God's grace? Does it actually transform your life today? Let's pray and just spend a moment considering your attitude to God and considering your attitude to others. Lord God, we thank you that it is by grace we are saved, that it is by your mercy. And Lord, rather than us sitting ourselves on a platform and having great prayers that reveal great doctrines, Lord, we pray that we will be humbled by your sheer character of how you love us and how you treat us. And although we deserve judgment, and although we deserve your wrath and anger, you show mercy and compassion to us. Lord, help us to see that, Lord. Help us to turn. Help us to make the right moves to you. Lord, we want you to be God with who your character is. We don't want to try and change you, Lord. We want you to be who you are. The God who has steadfast love for us, compassion and mercy, forgiving our iniquities. Thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, who accomplished that through his work on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to die for our sins, willing to come and seek and save the lost. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening our eyes to see, for making us born again. Thank you, Almighty God. Through Jesus we pray. Amen.